I remember back when I was born again and filled with the Holy Ghost and been rocking along there for a few months. You know, and I'd hear a preacher get up, you know, I won't mention who it was, but I'd hear him get up and say, you know, you've got to bring the tithe into the storehouse, you know. You've got to bring that 10% in, and if you don't, you're not going to be blessed. In fact, you're going to be cursed. You've got to bring that 10% in. And I remember at the time, as young as I was in the Lord, something just not quite right about this. You know, and I really didn't have anybody to go to at that time. I wasn't with Pastor Dave. I was starting in on his teachings and trying to listen, trying to gain the voice of God in my own life. But I thought, something ain't right about this. And so I just felt impressed to just shut it all out and begin to, each time an offering came up, I would ask God, what do you want me to give in this offering? I just started doing that. That was 1985. That was quite some time ago. And I just say, Lord, what do you want me to give in this offering? And, you know, sometimes I would get a figure. Sometimes I wouldn't. If I didn't get a figure, I would just think, well, I want to give this amount today. So I would just do that. You know, and people would talk about, you know, at the end of the year, you know, I gave my 10%. And business people, which I had a lot of business people, a lot of them around me, and they, you know, I gave my 10%, you know, I get to write that off. And it would almost seem like they were giving just so they could, you know, take advantage of the write-off. And I thought, you know, I wonder if they didn't have that write-off federally, I wonder if they would even give any. You know, that's how it seemed to me. I don't know, you know. But I noticed at the end of the year, the first year, at the end of the year, I was way above 10%. All based on just trying to hear His voice and doing what He said to do. Even then, I knew that something wasn't right. It wasn't until I learned later that I was on the right track. Quite by accident, somewhat, but I was on the right track. So it's not that I'm just telling you something that doesn't work. I know that it works. You do what God tells you to do, and you're going to reap in heaven. You'll even reap here on earth. But you're really going to reap in heaven. But not that you're doing it in order to reap anything or gain anything, except that you want to be obedient to God and do what He says. See? So, I started early in my walk with God in taking care in that area of money, giving. Are you ready to receive tonight? Let me ask you something. Why did you come tonight?
To receive.
Well, that's good. I hope you came expecting to get built up.
Amen.
To get healed, to get built up.
Amen.
I hope you're excited about this weekend.
Yes.
You know, I really, this is how I look at it. Don't take this too harshly, but if you're not excited about me coming this weekend and bringing what God has, you need to get with somebody that you can get excited about. I don't preach that a lot because it doesn't help you get places to preach. But it's the truth. You should be excited about what's happening this weekend. Because I tell you what, God has something special for you this weekend. Every person in here, He has something special for them this weekend. And I wouldn't want to miss it a bit. I wouldn't want to even take the chance of missing. I wouldn't want to miss one service because it might be the service that I was supposed to be at. See, this is an appointment with God that you're at tonight. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I've already seen some things that are happening. I've already seen some things happening, manifesting. Already. Hallelujah, Jesus. All right, we need to do the offering again. We had one to walk in late, so we need to redo that offering. It's a redo. I told you I was wound tonight. Okay, I plan on getting plastered tonight. I don't know about the rest of you. Just up to you. You know, it's your decision. You can drink from the fountain or not. Hallelujah. You know, it's kind of like when you come into the presence of God, it's kind of like reaching. I don't know, you know, whether you're aware of it or not, you know, being out here in this particular climate and location, but I can remember back home, you know, when we used to dip that long-handled dipper down in the well or down in the spring box, come up with a cold drink of water. There's nothing like it. Well, there's nothing like it when you come and drink out of God's well that He's prepared for you. It's a cool drink of water. It'll quench every thirst. He'll feed the hungry and give a fresh drink to those that are dry. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. All right. I want to go to... you know, we think we're special. You know, well, we are special. You know, we're special in God's eyes. But we think we're special. We think we're the only one that's having trouble. You know, we think we're the only one that's got a problem or having trouble or going through certain things, you know. And the reason we feel that way is it's a design by the enemy to isolate you, get you off to yourself. See, it's a design by the enemy. He thinks if he can get you off, and he's pretty well right. I mean, hey, he's been around a long time. You understand the devil's been around a long time, you know. He's got us figured out quite well. If he can get God out of the picture. Now, with God in the picture, it's a different deal. But he's got us figured out pretty well, and if he can isolate someone, get them off to themselves, he's got them whipped, they'll never be able to serve God to their full potential. Well, I can serve God a little bit without being here at this place. Well, yeah, you might be able to just a little bit. You know, you go down and hand out a tract or two around town or try to get a neighbor born again, and that's good. That's good. But I'm talking about to your full potential. If he can isolate you and get you divided off from everyone else, then you're going to miss out on your full potential that God has for you. And we think, well, nobody knows what I'm going through. They don't understand, you know. And this is different. This is different. You know, it's different. You know, you don't understand because this is different. So we think, well, you know, we got a special problem. It's going to require something special. Well, it is going to require something special, all right, a touch from God. You know. But anyhow, turn with me. Turn with me to 1 Peter. We'll start in verse 12 of chapter 4, verse 12. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. I'm having a good time tonight. I had a good time on the way out here. I had a lot of joy. I told her, I said, we can just turn around and go back. I think I'm done. I had a good time. Glory be to God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. You feel tried tonight? Have you been feeling tried here lately? Well, have you? Some of the reports I've had, I think some of you have been tried. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. See, we think it's strange. We think, you know, it's special. You know, we're the only ones going through this. I don't know how many times I've heard that from pastors. Over and over, the story is always the same. Every time. You don't understand. I'm stuck out here. Nobody else around. And we're going through this, this, and this. And then you go on to the next weekend or the next two weekends. You go to some other church. You don't understand. I'm stuck out here. And this and this and this is happening. Nobody is going through what I'm going through. And you go on to the next church. And that pastor says, you don't understand. I'm stuck out here and I'm going through this and this. Nobody is having to go through what I'm having to go through. He says, don't think it's strange that this thing has come upon you to try you. How many knows that God is not the one that does the testing? Now you have to build trust with Him concerning your call. The more He can trust you to not hurt people and to follow His direction and be obedient, the more anointing, the more He's going to pour out upon you. So, you know, you do build a trust, but He's not the one that does the testing. The enemy is the one that comes to test your ground. He's the one to come and finds out if you've got what it takes to overcome or not. Hey, I like devils. This guy is strange. I really like devils. Gives me a chance to build up my reward in heaven. I really like the opportunity. If you've got one tonight, I welcome you. I love it. I love it. Gives you an opportunity to build up your reward in heaven. Every time you meet one and you put him in his place, you're taking that authority that has been given to you and you're given the opportunity to lay up to your account in heaven. See? Don't think it's strange that you're being tested or tried. And it's not God that's doing the testing or trying. It's the enemy that has come to see if he can steal from you what is yours. Your call, your family, your money, your life. See, it's not God that does that. All right, let's take this a little bit farther. Okay, turn to the next page. Page 1640. Chapter 5, verse 5. of 1 Peter. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 5, likewise, you younger people, he's talking about me, says, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. He's talking about Earl. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Well, I certainly want to be humble because I need all of His grace that I can get. You know. Let's take it a little farther. Verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It doesn't say he is a lion. He may have convinced you that he's a lion, wanting to tear you apart. It says he walks about like a roaring lion. And he can only do to you what you let him do to you. That's all he can do. Whatever you let him do, that's what he can do. If you don't let him, resist the devil and he'll flee. That's part of the Word of God. Amen. You resist him, he's got to leave. How long? I don't know. Let's find out. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Now what? I got to read that again. It says resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced. You'll be healed before the night's over. That back problem you've been fighting, you're going to be healed before the night's over. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Doesn't sound to me like you got a special problem. Sounds to me like everybody else experiences the same thing that you experience. Well, he just got through talking about be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he can only devour you if you're devourable. I don't even know if that's a word or not, but it sounds right to me. If you're able to be devoured by him, he can devour you. But he goes about looking, who can I take out this time? Who can I take out this time? And if I can't take this person out, I'll go and try to take somebody else out. So it's the same devil. It doesn't matter whether you're in Peru, whether you're in Elkhart, Kansas, Ulysses, Tulsa, or on Dinky Creek. You're gonna get tested and tried by the devil, who's going to come and see if he can devour you. Doesn't matter where you're at. Amen. Everybody experiences the same thing. Well, my circumstances are different. Well, you may have a little bit of different circumstances, but I can tell you right now, it's the same devil that's behind it, trying to take you out and devour you. Doesn't matter who you are or where you're at. You don't have a special problem. He'll make you feel like you have a special problem, but you don't have a special problem. Let's take it a little bit farther. So just know this. When you think that you're the only one going through this, when you think you're the only one feeling the way you're feeling, there is somebody else in the body of Christ that is going through the same thing. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. You mean I got to suffer for a while? Yeah, you probably have to. It's not that you suffer. It's not the suffering that causes anything. It's what you do as you're suffering that causes the outcome to change.
Amen.
What you do while you're suffering, what you do while you're going through this trial, this fiery trial that has come upon you that is not strange as you think it is, what you do going through that is what matters. That's what matters. What you do. If you take what you know in the Word of God and you start applying it, you're going to have to resist Him steadfast in the faith. You better be doing something to have the faith.
Amen.
Because that's the only thing that's going to get you through. You determine the outcome. I thank God that... No, God already... He already paid the price 2,000 years ago. We determine the outcome. It's all back on us. Because He gave us everything necessary to make sure that outcome is good. To make sure we get through this fiery trial. He gave us everything that we would need. We determine what happens in the end. We determine the outcome. Glory. I thought I was going through something that nobody else did. And I know the feeling. I know what you're feeling at times. I've been there myself. I know what you're feeling. He'll make you feel that you're alone. He'll make you feel that nobody else has experienced what you're experiencing. And He'll make you feel that you're not going to come out of it. And He'll make you feel like that everybody's against you. That's His steps to get you isolated and off by yourself and destroy you. The Bible says that He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He'll steal everything He can from you. He'll kill you and destroy that call and the works in heaven that you could have laid up for yourself. All because He got to isolate you and get you off to yourself feeling that you're the only one going through this. You're the only one that has experienced something like this. Hey, one of the ways He does it is when you start taking on the care. I know you didn't want me to approach that part of the verses. What you do with those cares determines the outcome of your situation. If you take on the care of it instead of turning it over to God, because what you're doing when you take on the care of that particular situation, what you're doing is you're saying, God's not big enough. God's not big enough. He can't handle this situation. He's not big enough. I can do it myself. I can take care of it. I can handle it. Yet, it says that you've got to resist Him steadfast in the faith. Well, it's not an example of faith if you start not letting God in on the situation. If you start not turning it over to Him, that's not being steadfast in the faith. You've got to start at some point acting upon what you know to act upon. You've got to start walking that faith out. Faith is a walk. It's not just a, I got it. It can seem like it comes that way at times, but that's not the way it is. Faith is a walk. Faith is a process. But if you're not doing anything to walk steadfast in the faith, you're not going to have it. You've got to do something at some point. You got to do the things necessary to obtain that faith, to get out of your situation. And what you do while you're in that situation is going to determine the outcome. Why? Because what you do gives you the faith necessary to obtain what? The grace of God. By faith I access this grace that He gave me 2,000 years ago. By faith I access this grace. What's in this grace? How about healing? Well, if you need healing by faith, you're going to access that healing because that's part of His grace. You accessed your salvation the same way. You took what little faith was necessary, which that doesn't take much faith to access salvation. People make it too complicated. It only takes enough faith to say, Lord Jesus, I give my life to You. Come into my heart. I believe that You were raised from the dead. Come into my heart. And you're born again. That didn't take much faith. There's other things along the way that takes more faith depending on where you're at. Some people can access that grace in one area more than another area. But what you do when you're in this fiery trial determines the outcome. You can stay in that fiery trial and suffer forever and never get out of it. Go to heaven finding out that you could have got out of it and you didn't. You can stay in it and suffer forever. Or you can take the Word of God and while you're in that situation, get yourself out of it as quick as possible. How quick is that? It depends on what you do. You decide that. He doesn't. You decide it. He already gave it. He already done His part, folks. Settle it right now tonight. He did His part 2,000 years ago. He healed you 2,000 years ago. He set you free 2,000 years ago. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I thank You, Father God, for what You did 2,000 years ago. I thank You that You set me free. I thank You that You healed my body, You healed my mind 2,000 years ago. I thank You that You set me free from religion 2,000 years ago. Now what You going to do about it? So the Word of God says to resist the devil and he'll flee. Submit yourself unto God. At some point, you got to start turning to God. If you don't do nothing, you'll stay right there. And it'll just keep getting worse. Oh, you may get a little relief accidentally along the way, or some big mouth preacher may come along and lay his hand up on you, and you get free. But at some point, you're going to have to face that again because it's going to come right back at you when it gets a chance. And you're going to have to know what to do. That's why, you know, it's wonderful ministering to the body. It's wonderful. But what's even greater is ministering the Word of God and getting it written into the hearts of people. You ought to come to these meetings hungry, ready to receive, excited, expecting about what's to happen with an open heart that you can receive. Man, I wasn't taught that way when I was growing up. It don't matter. Open up your heart to see what needs corrected. Let Him make some adjustments that when that devil comes seeking whom he may devour, you're not the one that's going to be devoured. You don't want to be devoured. But you're going to have to do something about it. You can't just stand idly by and not do anything about it. You got to make some decisions and then you got to act upon them. He'll get you out there, deceive you and isolate you and destroy you. You'll go to heaven, all right. You say, well, I'm born again. Yeah, and you'll go to heaven, all right. but you won't have accomplished what God intended for you to accomplish. That's the only thing that keeps me going. You think I just started this? I mean, I don't know. If I didn't come to these small churches, I guess He would find somebody else, and I would get left out on what He wants me to do. You know, it seems, you know, I just take it and go on, you know. I'd like bigger venues sometimes, if you don't mind. But whatever He wants me to do. We started doing this in 1992. I can only remember 1 year. 1 year that we didn't do anything. And that was because I was letting Him show me how ugly I was. So we took that year and built upon it. But we started in 1992. We didn't just start doing this. I want to tell you right now, you've got to start at some point doing the things in the Word of God if you're going to come to a place where He doesn't take you out over every little hangnail.
Amen.
You got to at some point start turning those things over to God. Say, God, I know Your grace is provided for this situation. I'm kind of like Pastor Dave used to say. You know, I drive a Volkswagen and my cares, they drove a Ferrari because every time I left the carriage at the altar of the church, they beat me home and was waiting for me when I got home. I felt the same way. But there is that place that you can turn them over to Him. Turn everything over to Him, that He provides what's necessary to overcome, that you can be an overcomer.
Amen.
There is that place of peace, folks. There is that place of peace. You run around being uptight about everything all the time. All you need is some peace. We have a way that you can get that peace. You probably never heard me mention it or talk about it. It's called praying in tongues. Where you can come to a place at that peace. You walk in that peace no matter what situation comes up. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. The highest form of resisting the devil is casting your cares upon Him. That's the highest form of resisting the devil. I got a money problem. God is still your answer. He provided all you the money that you would need to take care of your bills and to live on and to help in the kingdom of God. He provided it all 2,000 years ago. You've got to come to that place that you're casting that care upon Him. And when you come to that place that you cast that care upon Him, the peace comes in. Then He's able to get over to you the answer that you were looking for all the time. That's why people can go to bed at night with a situation and not know what to do about it. And sometime during the night, they came up with the answer and it woke them up. The answer woke them up. Why? Because they came to a place of peace that He was able to get through to them. It wasn't that He wasn't wanting to earlier in the evening. He wanted to give you the answer right away. But He wasn't able to get it through to you. That's why we push praying in tongues all the time. That's why we push fasting to put the flesh down. Because we want you in a place that you can receive the answers that God has for your life. You think we just bring those messages for something to preach about? It's to turn your life around. It's to change your situation. It's to give you answers that you're seeking for in your personal life, concerning your job, concerning your family. All of those things. He's interested in those things. He desires to give you what you need in every area of your life. But if He can't get it across to you, if you're going to keep taking on the care and not let Him to be involved, then the devil's just going to come in and tear you apart because you're not depending on God. You're depending on your own soulish power. Let's see. Give you something to think about, huh? Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. All right, stand up. Hallelujah. What you are. Where you're at and what you are is determined when you're in these situations or circumstances. That's really where you're at. It's like I've told you in other messages. You got a 40-acre corn crop. Fire comes through and sweeps through and you're left with one stalk. That's really what you had to begin with, was one stalk. You didn't really have 40 acres. Because if you had 40 acres, you'd have stopped the fire before it started sweeping through the cornfield. I know it's tough stuff. And He expects me to live this, walk this. Yeah, by the grace of God. Well, how do I do that? By faith I access this grace. Oh, I must need to do something to build up my faith. Now you got it.
Amen.
You, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith by praying in other tongues.
Amen.
You, beloved, putting the flesh down. The doubt and unbelief that faith can come forth when you fast. You, beloved, standing with your hands lifted high, worshiping God, that the presence of God may come in and override those cares that are swirling around in your head, keeping you from God, and then you can reach out and touch Him because you chose to worship Him.
Amen.
By faith, by hearing the Word of God, is how we obtain that faith.
No, Mom.
I believe we about covered that, didn't we? Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Tonight's your night. Feel like you're being strangled part of the time? Feel like you get up of a morning and the devil slaps you down? You get back up and the devil slaps you down? Feeling like he's riding you all the time? Now's the time to be quiet. This is your opportunity. If you're here tonight, you just feel like you're in a wrestling match with the devil.